Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad David Mullendorf is here too, folks. David's been on the show before. David and I have known each other a long time, and primarily because of his outstanding stewardship as a leader of his small business. And David's company is Paper and Chemical Supply Company out of Sheffield, Alabama, in the northwest corner of Alabama. And it's a family-owned business. It was founded by his father, and really by his grandfather before that, and going all the way back. One of the companies go back to 60 years, and one longer than that. And David's been running the company now for a number of years, and he's in Washington D.C. today too, as I am, as you know, and he's going to be helping, as I am, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce celebrate small business by having the 2010. Small Business Summit. David Mullendorf, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. I want to tell you it's a personal and professional honor to be a part of your show. I really appreciate what you have done and continue to do on behalf of small business.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, David. David, talk to me about your grandfather. I know a little bit about the history of the company. Your grandfather really got the company going many years ago, and then I think your father spun it off in a little bit of a different direction 60 or so years ago. You've been running the company for about 30 or so years. Tell us a little bit about what the company does.
Jim, we're what a lot of people would refer to as just movers of big boxes. that's essentially what it is. But we view ourselves as being a very important but small part of the logistical supply chain, getting product from point A to point B and as efficiently as possible. And when I talk about the products, I'm talking about things like personal service papers, which a lot of viewers would view as being hand towels, toilet tissue, things that you would
right.
make paper products that you'd use of a personal nature.
Sometimes called coarse papers.
Depending on the brand, you're exactly right.
As opposed to fine, like copy paper or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then we have sanitary maintenance products, which are typically your janitorial
right.
products. We deal in packaging, which like stretch wrap, bubble wrap, and packaging peanuts, and then we also do office supply products. So
right.
I don't want to call it a one shop type business, but we do try to take care of the needs of our customers.
Right, and you do that in. And that could be anywhere from the tiny small business to plants in your region of the country.
You're exactly right.
We manufacturing, commercial, and industrial. David, here's a question for you. Now, if you were starting, if you were your dad, thinking about spinning off a company like yours the way he did, what was it, back in 49, as I remember the story? If that was going on right now, if your dad were thinking about doing that right now, would he do that?
I don't think so.
You think he would do the same thing he did back then? Would you think he'd do that same thing now?
I really don't think so. I think that it would be, number one, much more difficult to do it. And, things have changed so much from 1949 when the paper company was spun off from the grocery company, which is what my grandfather started in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
And things have just changed so dramatically just in business and the way it's conducted. Nowadays, even though, if we had, let me back up, if we had some unique niche that we could fall into by spinning off a portion of our company, I think it could succeed. But what is going on now, it's very, very difficult in our type of business because of consolidation within the industry to actually take a portion of us and go in a different direction and develop that.
Right.
Critical mass is extremely important.
Because you're basically, I mean, you're in the commodity business, aren't you?
We're exactly. Totally consumable supply.
And so it's harder for small companies to be in the commodity business, isn't it?
It's getting harder to be. A lot of the companies are falling by the wayside or being snapped up by much larger companies.
Right. So how many employees do you have now?
We've got 47.
47. It's interesting how many small business owners I talk to who have less than 50 employees. Is that a critical mass tipping point below 50, or is that something you think by design because of some of the regulatory issues that are out there?
In our case, the biggest issue is the tipping point to fall under a lot more regulations.
Yeah. So once you go to 50 employees, is it 50 or 51? I always forget.
Technically, I'm not sure, but I view it as 50.
So that's here's my point. I never hear anybody who has 49 or 50 employees. It's always 47. It's always like you allow yourself a little bit of wiggle room there, right, Dave?
You're exactly right. But you know the sad thing is, Jim, it is I would really like to grow it a lot larger, but then that creates those other problems.
So you're saying that for you to go to say 57 employees, add 10 people, to take advantage of some growth opportunities, you'd have to have a lot more growth opportunities than those 10 would justify just because of the additional scaling of regulatory requirements.
It is definitely a factor.
Yeah. It's amazing how and why is it that politicians don't get that? Why don't they connect the dots between the entrepreneurial impact on the economy, the jobs growth potential for small business owners, and the oppression of these kinds of regulatory requirements?
Well, I really think it's because politicians are trapped in a bubble, and
yeah,
they really do not understand what goes on outside of the Beltway of Washington. And it's almost, it is a country club when you get right down to it. And
and we're not talking Republican or Democrat here either.
No,
we're talking political class.
This is just the club as it exists.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you sit on. They just don't seem to have a realistic view of how a paycheck is created.
And the longer they stay here, it seems that the more their vision gets obscured. David, hold on to that thought. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. David Mullendorf is our guest. His company is Paper and Chemical Supply Company, and he and I will be right back after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Bury the bottle, Mama. It's grapefruit wine.
A little bit of Stones bringing us back. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to check it out and read, listen, ask questions. Check out our Brain Trust members. Lots and lots of stuff. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. David Mullendorf is our guest, an old friend of mine, and the president of Paper and Chemical Supply Company. David, tell us how we can find you online.
Jim, our web address is www.paperandchemical.com, and it is spelled out.
All spelled out. Paperandchemical.com. Go there and see what a company. Actually, all the way back to your grandfather's roots, your company is over 80 years old, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All the way back. And so, folks, we're talking about a longstanding American success story that is really just one of the great ones in the country. David, one of the things I want you to talk about, by the way, I want to remind you folks that one of the reasons David and I both are in Washington today is to help the U.S. Chamber celebrate small business through their Small Business Summit, the 2010 Small Business Summit. And David, you're going to be on the panel with me later today, aren't you?
That is correct. I'm actually looking forward to it. It ought to be not only interesting, but a lot of fun.
It will. I promise you. We're going to make it fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing you face-to-face again later this afternoon. David, talk to us about in the previous segment, you talked about some of the things that concern you about just in general growing your business and really feeling that you need to keep your employee numbers under 50 employees so that you don't get hit by some of the regulatory tripwires that are out there, landmines, I probably should say. What do you think about the recent healthcare bill that passed? How will that impact your 47-employee company?
Jim, it potentially is going to have a very, very major impact for a number of reasons. You can't mandate something without it costing something. And
right.
Since this bill mandates coverage, it mandates either the employee to buy it or the employer to provide it, among a number of different things, it can't help but raise the cost. But the real
right.
danger to the health care bill, as far as it affects me right now, by the way it's written, a company with less than 50 does not fall under the mandated penalty clauses.
Right.
However, we employ seasonal people like students home for the summer. We occasionally outsource some labor during a particularly busy time of the year.
Right.
These part-time people, as defined under the health care bill, get thrown into the mix and get figured in as a full-time equivalent. And by the time you add some of the seasonality, some of your summer employment, et cetera, I'm afraid I'm going to fall over 50 and then now be subject to some of the penalty clauses.
But you're not sure about that, are you?
No, I'm not, because I think the regulations...
I mean, is there any way to know, is there actually any way to know right now, David? Not how many people you're going to hire, but how they're going to calculate the numbers.
You don't know exactly, because these regulations are being written as we go. You know, first of all, you had a 2,400-page bill that nobody read. And
right.
And now departments that are responsible for administering it are writing the regs. So all
They're promulgating it right now. See, this is the thing I kept talking about earlier in the year, is that never mind what the bill says, that's bad enough. But when the regulators and the bureaucrats start taking the law and promulgating it into something they can execute, that's going to be something different altogether, isn't it?
No question about it.
Same thing with tax policy.
Exactly. Well, you know, and our friends at the IRS are the people who will be enforcing the rules in this new health care plan.
Right, right. So here you are as a small business owner wanting to grow, needing to grow. You'd like to hire more people, right?
Exactly.
Isn't that the position you're in right now?
Sure. You have to survive. I mean, you're either growing yeah. or you're going backwards.
You're either green and growing or ripe and rotten, right?
That's a good way of putting it.
So you're in this position where you'd like to grow, you need to grow, but you're concerned about growing because of the existing regulations that are going to nail you when you go over 50 employees. But even now, with less than 50 employees, because you don't know what the health care bill is going to shake, how it's going to shake out, you actually are concerned that you may be hit with some kind of a penalty that you weren't prepared for as you currently stand. Now, see, that's a level of uncertainty. Darlene Miller, someone you know, she's mm-hmm. also associated with the U.S. Chamber. She was on the show earlier, and the one thing that she said, the biggest enemy of hers right now is uncertainty. Would you agree with her about that?
There is no question about that. We can't even begin to make meaningful plans for the future not knowing what the rules are going to be.
Yeah,
and it hits home even now. You mentioned that I've been at our company for 30 plus years, which puts me getting closer to the really having to seriously consider succession planning and estate
right.
planning. I can't even begin to update a will not knowing what the estate laws are going to be that
right.
have expired, and they're talking about retroactive
From your family standpoint, David, you need to die this year, don't you?
Well, there's some question about that now, the way that why they're...
Hey, David, I'm looking forward to seeing you this afternoon. Thanks
Likewise,
for being here today.
Jim.
Good job today.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do for America. David Mellendorf, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, a great small business owner. Very proud of him. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back. No matter what.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.